Amen, and we're live. Wonderful. Welcome if you're joining us live. Thanks for watching later on. It's good to see you. We've had a wonderful time of worship. I was wanting to share something, Chris, but I wanted to go to tell everyone else. But your prayer. You don't know how in tune you are with the Holy Spirit, my friend. That was fantastic. I wrote down some of the things you said. You spoke about creation, relationships, provision, adoption, plan and purpose. Did you break into my computer last night and read my sermon? No. It's like as you were speaking out that prayer, I'm thinking, yes, yes, yes. Because you know, sometimes when if you're doing a sermon, you think, you know, was that what I was supposed to be preaching? And then you just said the whole lot. So as you hear the sermon, I was going to write a note to you, but listen to this sermon and see how in tune you are with the Holy Spirit. Because at that, you know I'm a mathematician, I do statistics and all that, right? So the stats of you getting one thing by coincidence is not very high. It's pretty. We're in church, you might talk about creation. Yeah? There's a good chance of that. But to talk about creation and relationships and provision and plan and purpose, and I'm speaking about this, the probability of that is huge. So I'm not going to work it out, but I probably could. But it's just either a huge, huge coincidence or we're in tune with the Holy Spirit. No, not in the kingdom. So let's just say that was you tuning in. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for our worship this morning. I thank you for the way Nunzi led us into worship. I thank you for Chris for speaking out that prayer. Thank you for the brothers and sisters for singing out. So I thank you for the encouragement that we already have had this morning from you, Father. And I thank you for the encouragement that I've had from you through that wonderful prayer. So thank you, Father, now that it's time for us to gather around your word, focus on your truths, plant some seeds in our heart, into the garden of our heart. Thank you for the ground that it's going to be sown on. And Father, I thank you for understanding. I speak out understanding so that those seeds will not be stolen away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. So, started a new series last week. Don't know how long it's going to be. You never know how long my series are going to be of sermons. And I'm calling it God is Love. And I'm calling it that because I can't explain that phrase. I spoke a little bit last week about this phrase, God is Love. And I don't know about you guys, if you've been meditating on it or pondering on it this week, I still can't describe those three words. God is Love. So what I'm going to try and do is look at different aspects of his love and try and tie them together to describe his nature, to describe his being, to try and get round to describing this phrase, God is love. So that's what we're going to do. And remember, we've got a purpose for doing that. We're still kind of continuing on about compassion in a sense. Remember last week I told you we cannot give what we do not have and we cannot share what we do not know. So we need to increase our knowledge of God's love. We need to get epinosis about God's love so that we can express it or display that love. And in this context of our previous teaching about compassion, remember we said compassion is really just an expression of God's love. And if you remember that verse in 1 John 4, I think it was, it says, you know, if you see a brother in need, if you've got the resources, you don't meet it. Have you really got God's love in you? That's a kind of bit of a paraphrase. So this is important. We need to have epinosis about God's love. So that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. Sean's going to be having a message pretty soon as well. And talking about the love of God. So I'm going to try and explain this by looking at different words like unconditional and infinite and absolute. But we're going to get to that later. Got a few words I am going to talk about today about God's love. So turn with me right to the start. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Go with me to John 1. John 1:1-5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not one thing made that was made." I love the repetition in King James, not in the Bible in general. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Three times, just in case you didn't get it. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Wonderful. Ephesians 3:9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." In just case you've not got where I'm going yet, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1:1-3. "God, who at diverse time, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Awesome. Verses we all know. God, through Jesus Christ, was the agent of creation. It says God made all things through him. Jesus created all things. Everything was made by him. All we can see, all we know, everything around us. Contrary to popular belief, life did not evolve from some primordial soup with, it just cracks me up this. It cracks me up to think that I used to believe this. But life didn't come from this primordial soup of amino acids and carbon molecules randomly being thrown together and then joining up over time to make cells, and then these cells joined together and swallowed each other up and reproduced and became jellyfish and octopuses and whales and men and whatever. We didn't evolve from apes. It just didn't happen. This creation is where it came from. Genesis 1:1, John 1:1-5, Ephesians 3:9, Hebrews 1:1-3. Now, this is a truth that I used to really struggle with. I used to struggle with creation. Because I grew up, I was a bit of a weird kid, wasn't I? With the things I read and the things I watched on TV. It was all science books. I used to read one of the first books I read. It was very early on in primary school. I used to read encyclopedias from like the start to the finish. And I used to have this one encyclopedia that I loved. And I would just read it again and again. Just like a book, a science encyclopedia. Loved it. Watched science programs. Never churched at home either. From a completely unchurched family. So I just took it for granted that evolution was the way we came to be. That's what everybody was telling me. That's what I was reading. That's what I was being told at school. That's what I was watching on TV. And I wasn't being told anything to the contrary. But I never really understood it. Never really studied it for myself. Never really got to the bottom of it. But that's what I was being told. So it was like a faith to me almost in a way. Evolution was the way. And then I became saved. But you know, when you're saved, your mind doesn't change overnight. So I was saved. And I believed in Jesus. And I didn't understand it as the finished work of the cross at the time, but what he did on the cross. I believed that, I understood it, I believed I'd been saved. But there was this huge chunk of scripture at the start that I just couldn't believe and couldn't get my head around, couldn't grasp it. It was a real problem for me for a while. And then one morning in a prayer meeting with John and Clive, we had a prayer triplet. Well, it was more of a, I've told you this before, it was more of a prayer breakfast for 29 minutes and a breakfast for 29 minutes and prayer for 1 minute, kind of the way it was. But one time we were talking about this and I was telling the guys I was really struggling and I felt the Lord speaking to me directly and said, stop fretting. Stop worrying. Why do you need to know everything? That kind of really hit home to me. He said, just take it by faith. You believe in me? Yes. Just take it in faith then that I'm a creator, the creator. That's how it is. You don't really need to know everything. So that was great. But since then, I read a lot about science. An awful lot about the world and about science. I'm reading about it all the time. And the more I read that now, the more I know there's a creator. The more I read, and I'm reading a book at the moment about the way octopus brains evolved. And it's absolutely fascinating. Because everything I read on this book, I'm just thinking, that's rubbish. And it's almost laughable. You guys start reading about it, it's almost laughable what the evolutionists say. It's like, well, it must have been like this. We think this must have happened. That must have happened. We don't know why or how, but it must have. There's no proof there. The more I read about it, the more I know there must be a creator. There has to be. Remember, evolution is a theory, not a scientific fact. And evolution doesn't stack up. Listen to this. I read a book recently. It's about ecosystems and how the species all live together and work together. And indeed, how sometimes species cannot live without each other. And one example that fascinated me is about a tree in the Amazon. And it's pollinated by one type of beetle. Just one. There's only one beetle that can get into the flower and pollinate it. Only this beetle. And that beetle can only survive by eating the nectar from the tree. That's all it eats. But it can't digest the nectar. So it has a species of bacteria in its gut that digests the nectar. And that species of bacteria is only found, has only ever been found in the gut of this beetle. So the tree can't survive without the beetle. The beetle can't survive without the bacteria. The bacteria can't survive without the tree. All three of them are living together right now and can't exist without each other. Amazing, mind-blowing. And as I was reading this, my thought was, okay, Mr. Dawkins, tell me how that evolved. You know, there's this complete ecosystem, this perfect tree, this perfect beetle, this perfect bacteria. And they all need each other to live in the present state that they're in. How could that have evolved? It's impossible. That would have had to appear spontaneously. Yes, in order for it to happen the way it is just now. Yeah, well, that's creation. It has to be. That kind of symbiosis that we see all over the world can't evolve. It has to appear spontaneously, and that points to a creator. We live in creation, and I'm great with that now. I'm happy with that now. I'm happy to be ridiculed because I think that now. And that leads me to the first word to describe this aspect, or an aspect of God's love. His love is creative. One of the first words you said in your prayer. It's creative. And you may think, yeah, well, you're kind of stating the obvious here, Vic. God is the creator, therefore he is creative. But what on earth has that got to do with his love? Well, let me see if I can answer that. I pondered. That's a question I was thinking. What has it got to do with his love, God? Why are you leading me down this path of creation? When I want to look at words about your love. I want to get to unconditional. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. I want to get to words like infinite and absolute and caring and compassionate. Well, you lead me down this route of creative. I know you're creative. What's that got to do with love? So I'm thinking, okay, I'm happy in my mind about that God is a creator, what he did, how it came about, but it leaves another question, which you should all have at various times. Why? Why creation? What's the point? Why the universe? Why the earth? Why mankind? Why me? You know, start for the big questions. Universe, come down a bit. Earth, mankind. Let's get personal. Why me? And I think I've got the answer when I was meditating about God is love. Because when I was thinking about these aspects of his love, I really felt led to those verses about creation. I'm thinking, where are you going here, Lord? Where are you going here? What's this got to do with your love? And I really felt the Lord saying to me, well, that word creative goes with another word about my love, and it's relational. He spoke about relationships. And I thought, of course, love always involves two parties, doesn't it? It's not always reciprocated, but love always involves two parties. Now, I deliberately didn't say two people. I said two parties. When I was thinking about our fellowship, and Carol, bless us, not here. You know, Carol loves dogs. Certain people love their football teams. I don't know who that would be, I'm thinking about. Certain people love their football teams. Some people love their cars, their homes. See, when we love, we always have to love something. And hopefully it's something is a someone. We have to love something or someone. We don't love on our own. It's not singular. If we have love, we project it onto something or someone. We need something or someone to love. Anybody else thinking of a Freddie Mercury song at this point?
Yes.
We need something or someone to love. And the light bulb went on for me at that point. And I thought, yes. Yes, Lord. You are creative because you are relational. And that is a function of your love. So we can talk about these two words, creative, relational, as a function of his love. Think about that first chapter in Genesis. I'm not going to go all the way through it, but I read it yesterday, taking out the sort of bullet points. We see a creative God going about the business of creation. Okay? We see light. We see him separate the light from the darkness. What does he say? He says it was good. What does he see? He sees it's good. We see the firmament being separated from the water. What does he see? He sees that it's good. Then we see the grass, the herbs, the fruit trees. He sees it as good. Then we see the moon and the stars. Still going about the business of creation. What does he see? He sees it was good. See the animals, the moving creatures, the fowls of the air. What does he see? Good. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth. What does he see? He sees that it was good. Hopefully you'll know where I'm going here. And then God created man in his image. And he blessed them. And at the end of this day, we see something very different. What does God see at the end of this day? After he created mankind, after he created us, what does he see now? Very good. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Every word in the Bible is important. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, good. Now, I'm not being arrogant, but day 6, when we come along, very good. Why? Because mankind was, and mankind still is, the pinnacle of his creation. You don't see him blowing into whales, oak trees, these beautiful beetles with the bacteria in their gut. But he does with us. We're created in his image. He gives us a spirit. We're different. We're the pinnacle of his creation. And we were given dominion over this earth. It says that in Genesis 1:26. We have this special place. Now, that doesn't mean we rape and pillage and plunder and destroy this creation, this earth, these natural resources, but they are there for us to manage and to use. Now, I'm thinking about being creative and relational, how much God loves us. Think back to that tree I told you about at the start that needs the beetles, that needs the bacteria to survive. And the bacteria and the beetles need the tree. Part of its growth cycle, and because it's in the Amazon, this is going on all the time, there's no seasons. So this thing's always being pollinated, always producing seeds, all the time. Part of its growth cycle is to produce a very high protein nut that's eaten by the indigenous people. Very nutritious, big part of their diet. And you see, you might be thinking, well, whoop-de-doo. But that amazes me, that the God of the universe, who created the universe, who is so amazingly intelligent and powerful and creative and innovative, that he can create this symbiotic relationship of a tree and a beetle and a bacteria, and the end result is a food that people can eat. That just blows me away. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's probably not what God was doing, Vic. He just created all these things. What is the point? I sometimes look at, I have in the past, I've quite often said to God, what is the point in wasps? But I've read a book about insects recently, and I know the point of wasps. They're wonderful creatures, but never mind. But it's like, what is the point of this tree that needs the beetle, that needs the bacteria? It's because these people are hungry. And they have this food there. Talked about provision in your prayer. You may not think that way, but I'm starting to think that God created, had that in mind, created that thing. It's like, you know, you can't project your thoughts onto God, but it's like, okay, we're going to have this indigenous people in the Amazon. They're needing things to eat. We'll make these nuts really high in protein. Jesus, well, how are we going to create them? God, I've got this. You'll never believe this, Jesus. I've got this fantastic thing. I'm going to have this tree. I'm going to make this just this one beetle that can only pollinate it, and I'm going to put bacteria in its gut. That's probably not the thought process. But I really see that as God providing. Why a high protein nut that only a man can get to? What's the point of it? It says provision. Why else make it nutritious, high in protein, if it just needs a seed for reproduction? Because he created man at the pinnacle of this creation, and he supplies our needs through this creation. Why? Because he was love. He is love. And he created man out of love to be loved for relationship. And bottom line, if you love someone, you provide for their needs, don't you? Well, that's what the Lord's doing here. He's creational. He's creative. He's relational out of his love. I mean, just Think about the natural systems all around us. Look at those trees. If those trees weren't there, you'd be dead. Or maybe not specifically those trees, but you know what I mean? If there weren't green plants with chlorophyll making oxygen, we'd be dead. Photosynthesis. There's a carbon cycle where we get our food from. There's a water cycle where we get our drink from. All around us, keeping us alive. Natural systems created by God to keep you alive. Why? Because he loves you and he wants to be in relationship with you. And he created you for relationship. Genesis 3:8. Look at that, after the fall. This is a great verse, and I think a lot of people don't see the full implication of this. So it's after the fall. And they, that's Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Not his spirit hovering over it. Not they felt his presence, as in we feel his presence. They heard him walking in the garden. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why did they hide? Because they knew God. They knew he was in the garden. They recognized his voice. How did they recognize his voice? Because they heard it all the time. They talked to him all the time. They were in relationship with him. This wasn't a one-off event. When God says, they've done a bad thing, I'm going to go down to the garden. This was a regular occurrence. God created mankind to be in relationship with him. He related to his creations in the garden. He spent time with them. What do you do with people that you love? You go for a walk with them, you spend time with them. That's what God was doing here. He loved them, so he spent time with them in relationship. He is creative and he is relational. But we know that relationship was broken. Broken with sin. So did God just wash his hands and walk away? Metaphorically? He could have destroyed everything in the blink of an eye. Something gone wrong here, let's start again. No, he didn't. First he gave the Jewish nation the law as a shadow of things to come, and then he did something miraculous to restore that relationship. So go to 2 Corinthians 5. Corinthians 5:18-19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation through the finished work of Jesus Christ, his cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. We know forgiveness flowed at the cross, and because of that forgiveness, man was reconciled to God, and the way to relationship was open once again through Jesus. Amen. That's why Jesus came. I've said this before, Jesus didn't come to deal with our sin. He had to do that to pass the mission, to fulfill the mission. He came to bring us back into relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus came. And reconciliation is so important. But reconciliation can only come where there was once relationship. See, that's why we were created. That's why mankind was created. It was for relationship. And relationship's all about love. If you go into a new relationship with new friends, that's not reconciliation, that's something new. This thing we have with God the Father is not new. It's what he had in mind from the start of creation. He had a plan and a purpose. And it was relationship. We were created for a relationship with God. We were created out of love to be loved. 1 John 4, I think. We love him because he first loved us. So we were created to be loved. And the great thing is that we now have this opportunity to love him back. We were created for a relationship with God. We were created out of love to be loved. And if you love someone, you want relationship. If you love someone and you don't want a relationship, you're twisted. Or there's something wrong with you. Or you don't love them. If you don't want to be in relationship, don't want to be with them. Oh no, something you can do without in the afternoon. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, kind of get that. You know, you want to be on your own sometimes. But no, if you love someone, you want to be in relationship with them. If you love someone and there is an issue, you should want to remove that issue, agreed? Well, that's what God did for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He made the first move in reconciliation, providing forgiveness. And now that we've been forgiven and we've been reconciled to him, we need to reconcile ourselves. We need to make a choice. We choose to have a relationship with him or not. But he wants relationships with everyone. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse says he wants all to come to repentance. Means all saved. All back in relationship. That's what he wants. He offers every single one of us adoption. He wants every single one of us to be adopted as a child into his family through Jesus. That's what he wants. But we have to choose that. Why does he want this? It's like, again, we keep coming back to this question. Why? Why did he create us? Why did he not just walk away when we made a pig's ear of it? Why did he send Jesus? Why does he want us to be adopted into his family? I'll tell you why. Because he is a relational being. He wants to be in relationship, and we are created in his image. So we should want that as well. I've often seen it written, and I've heard it. Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. Yeah, I get that. True Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, and that's true. That's what the Lord wants with us. And that is why we were created. He was creative, he created us. He is relational, he wants relationship with us. And I would argue, you know, the word says we are created in his image. And I would suggest that as human beings, we are not complete until we are in relationship with him. I'm sure everybody in here would say that. Everybody listening who has come to faith would say there was always that thing that was missing. You know, you can have all the money in the world, all the success in the world, all the whatever, all the cars, all the tellies, whatever you want, whatever your thing is. There's always someone missing. Sometimes you don't see that. Or people who are not saved don't see that and think they're happy. But I think everyone that comes to the Lord does recognize, yeah, I see there was something missing. It's that relationship with him. Why do people think that's missing? Because that's what we were created for. Why do you think there's so many people stream to Findhorn? To all the spiritual stuff that's there? Because they're all searching for something spiritual. Because they have that bit within them that is craving relationship with the Lord. They look for it in other places. Human beings are not complete until they're in relationship with him. That is what we were created for, and that is why Jesus came, to make a way for us to come back into relationship with the Godhead. Wonderful. The whole point of the finished work of Jesus Christ was to bring the pinnacle of God's creative work back into relationship with him. Creative and relational. Two aspects of his love. Two aspects of his character that point to his love. You know, kind of two aspects that if I was to ask everyone to write down five words that describe the love of God, there's not many of us going to put creative and relational. I was kind of, unconditional. It's probably one of the top ones. Infinite, I don't know. But creative and relational, but they definitely are. And they're well worth taking time to meditate upon. And here's a great thing about this love as well. I'm going to finish with this. Leave you something to ponder that should excite you and should encourage you. And Chris has kind of stolen my thunder with the final part of his prayer. You see, we were not just created. Now that's good enough. But we weren't just created. Every single one of us, like you said, was created with a plan and a purpose. Every single one of us. Jeremiah 1:5. Before he was created, Jeremiah was ordained a prophet. That's his plan and purpose. Isaiah 49:1. He was called before he was in his mother's womb. Before he was created, God had a plan and a purpose for his life. Look at the life of Paul. Well, and there's a man that had a plan and a purpose for God. And it wasn't his, was it? Completely opposite to what he thought. The disciples, the apostles, all had a plan and a purpose from God for their lives. And you know, guys, there's nothing special about them. They're written about in the Bible. But they're just ordinary men and women. Just like us. Created out of love. Created to be in relationship. Created with a plan and a purpose. Every single one of you, every single one of us, was created by God with a plan and a purpose. And I think you said it, the key to this life is to find and fulfill that plan and purpose. And just to tie all this up, we can only do that when we're in relationship with him. Amen. Hallelujah.